Welcome back or welcome to Bedroom Thoughts. My name is Beth, if you didn't know that already, and I thoroughly welcome you to season two. In this season, I will be discussing a variety of music as well as films that I just absolutely love and I want to share with you. I really hope you enjoy listening to me. This is relatively new for me, so it may not be perfect, but I really hope you enjoy anyway. Thanks. So, I'm just going to get right into it. If you're new, hello. I literally watched this film 2 days ago now, and I've fallen in love with it. And I wasn't even going to do the first episode on this film, but I just had to. Like, I just really think this is a good opening film, you know, to start with. So yeah, I really hope you enjoy me talking about it, and yeah, just I'm gonna go into everything about it. So Requiem for a Dream. Oh, it took me ages to say Requiem. It's a really hard word to say. Anyway, so it was made in 2000. Very good year for films, I feel like. 99, one of my favorite films. 2000, this film. 2001, another one of my favorite films. So, yeah. And the director is Darren Aronofsky. I'm literally so bad at pronouncing, by the way. So, if I'm, like, slow at pronouncing, that's why. But he also directed Black Swan, which I'm going to do a separate episode about because it's really good as well. And Mother, which is quite a new one, which I also liked, but when I watched it, my parents told me what it was actually about. Like, it was a whole metaphor thing, otherwise it just didn't make sense at all. Like, you didn't know where you stood with it. But anyway, so yeah, this director is really cool, and he makes a lot of like very melodramatic psychological thrillers. I love it. I literally love that. It shows you how easy it is for your life to flip into chaos just like that in a moment. And I think there's a very fine line in life between chaos and order. This is not my own idea. This is from, I literally love him. He's called Jordan Peterson. He's a psychologist. He's really good. He's on YouTube and he has a book. I really want to get it. 12 Rules for Life. I recommend you checking him out. He's really cool and he has really cool ideas. And he talks about chaos and order. And that you should kind of, to pursue meaning and stuff, you should always kind of be on the edge of order and chaos. Because then you truly, it's truly like your purpose, like you're truly pursuing it, you know? So I think they are all just on the brink, but they've gone too far. They've definitely gone too far. And yeah, so that was interesting. And so, yeah, with each of their storylines, they all interconnect, but none of them have healthy relationships with one another. It was a lot about that as well, was about unhealthy and non-meaningful relationships and how support and love and emotion between each other is so necessary and important for you to be able to function, you know, as a human being, and to be able to ground yourself again and stay in reality and not spiral out of control. There's also a number of dream sequences throughout, and a lot of like scenarios that they're imagining, and this just reinforces that idea of they all want to be in this fantasy where they are doing something else. Like, it's just very, you know, they weave in and out of reality. So it already isn't good. Like, that was, like, kind of from the beginning, like, setting up each character's storyline, they would imagine scenarios that they wish they were doing instead of the reality. So, yeah. And this was interesting. I was watching a video analysis of it on YouTube, because I love them. I'm just obsessed. And, like, documentaries of behind the scenes and all that, I love it. And this person, the video analysis person, said that they destroy potential in the present for a delusional image of themselves from memories that are no more. And that just really stuck with me, because it's just, it's a really good sentence. I find it hard to, like, form sentences like that, in, like, that way, you know. And yeah, it's true. I think I'm going to, what I'm going to do is explain the story a little bit, because if you haven't watched it, it's obviously hard to understand what I'm talking about. So, but I'll try not to spoil anything if you want to watch it. I won't say any of the endings or anything. I will be talking about the characters and just, like, a few events that happen, but don't worry, I'll try and keep it spoiler free. But so basically there's four main characters and their storylines all connect. They all, like, know each other, because the mum is called Sarah and she has a son called Harry, and Harry has a girlfriend called Marion. And also Harry has, like, a best friend called Tyrone. So they all kind of, and they all have their separate issues and stuff. So basically, Harry and Marion are drug addicts. That's not spoiling it, because that, it says it in, like, this film is about drugs, but it's not, even though it's a very, on surface level, it looks like a very main point of it, it's actually a lot more than that, and it's about loads of other stuff too. Did they just use drugs as kind of, I don't know, to make it more prominent and to make it more effective, I think, what they're trying to say. So yeah, they're drug addicts, and Sarah, I love Sarah, she's so cute. She's a little mum, she's by herself, she's alone because Harry's moved out, and she's widowed, she lost her husband, and she loves her television. Like, she just loves it, and she loves watching the TV. And Harry, you know, there was a really good moment in the film where they had a little talk, and it was really good. The acting is just incredible. And he said he was going to get a new TV set as a present, because he's got a business in a drug business, like distributing drugs and stuff. And, you know, he was getting a lot of money and stuff, and he was going to give her a TV set, but he never ended up doing it. And Marion, yeah, she's an interesting character, because she has both her parents, but they are emotionally unavailable, and they're just very transactional, and they just give her money, but they don't really offer any support, and they know about her drug addiction, and we don't even see them in the film. So yeah, it's just, she's got a hard life. But she has goals, you know. She had aspirations to, I think it was to be a fashion designer. She had loads of posters and stuff with her fashion. But anyway, so, and Tyrone, he has issues with, he's lost his mum, I believe. And so there's a lot of flashbacks to him when he was younger with his mum, which is really sad. Because he doesn't have that connection and love anymore. So they all have their own shit, basically. And So, yeah, what I'm just going to go through. So that's the basic storyline. And with Sarah, she gets a telephone call about being on TV, and she becomes really obsessed with this, and she wants to lose weight and stuff. So she tries a diet, but it doesn't work. So she tries these pills, these diet pills, and it works, though. Like, she lost 25 pounds, I believe, and yeah, all going well until she gets addicted to them. Sorry, that was a spoiler, but it also wasn't, because all the characters, it's all about addiction for each of them, but it's more than that. So let me explain. So what I got away from this film was about desires and to not let them own you and own your whole sense of being and stuff. And you need to stay grounded in reality and to make sure to reflect in reality and not to go into a delusional mania, basically, which is what all of the characters end up doing, is they are so obsessed with their delusions that ultimately they pay the price for it at the end. So yeah, I'll leave that there about the ending. So, and also obviously there is a message about drugs. And that, you know, it's kind of cliche, but it is so true in this film. It makes you never even want to consider doing them. Because, you know, it's the whole, they were so happy in the beginning, you know, they're harmless. They're harmless fun. You don't think you have a chance of getting addicted. And there's also a symbol in it, which is the red dress, and I got two interpretations for this. So basically, the red dress is what Sarah wanted to wear for what she thought was when she was going to go on to television, when they were going to call her in to go on television, and she wanted to get in the red dress, so she wanted to lose weight and fit into the red dress. And you know, she said that she wore it for her son Harry's graduation, so there's a lot of emotion there. And I thought that represented innocence. Oh, and it's also used in a dream sequence of Marion, and Harry's looking at her on the beach, on the pier, and she's wearing the red dress. So I was thinking kind of like dreamlike and innocence and wishing for a better time that was once, that they once had, kind of like a past memory thing. And then I also thought another interpretation of it could be the desire, oh yeah, I kind of just said the desire for the past or an alternate life. And yeah, because when Sarah wants the red dress, she wants to go back to a better time, you know. And it's the same with Harry in the dream sequence and Marion. It was so peaceful and kind of heavenly, where everything was okay. There was no drugs, you know, life didn't suck. So, yeah, that was just an interesting thing that I found in it. And another thing that I got, as the audience, we connect with this idea of shallow, non-meaningful relationships, because no one wants that, but a lot of us do. A lot of us do have those relationships in our lives, and it just shows that it's just never gonna end in a good way, you know. It's just gonna end in pain and misery for you if you keep those relationships. And also that isolation, neglect and delusions are the driving factors that make people fall into the pit of despair. That was another sentence that I found. And those three factors are, I think they're often overlooked. especially isolation and neglect. I feel like they are very, and then they kind of cause the delusions, I would say, because you're compensating for the lack of meaning in your life. So you create these delusions which, you know, you fall into a pit of despair and turmoil and pain. And there was also a good metaphor where each of the characters kind of represented something in your life. So if this did happen where you fell into the pit of despair, you will lose your freedom, which is Tyrone, body, which is Harry. I'm not going to explain each one because you'll have to watch it to get it, but yeah, mind is Sarah and soul is Marion. And if you've watched it, you'll know why each of those are like that. But I really do, it's hard to recommend this film because a lot of people have said the same, because it's very hard hitting and it's very dark and it's realistic, and it is hard to watch. Like, even I would admit, I didn't cry. A lot of people cried, but it is disturbing and it is scary. But not in the horror sense. It's scary like, fuck, this could happen to me scary. Because literally, diet pills, so simple, yet so overlooked. And people just don't think that this could happen in this movie, like everything that happens. So that's why it's scary for me, is because, and a lot of people have said that they've experienced similar things, like people that have gone through a drug addiction and are clean now, they have a resemblance and similarities within the film, which is just horrible. It also makes you sympathise more with drug addicts and people that aren't, you know, they're not perfect and they're not, they have issues with them, you know, like you can see their vulnerabilities and their issues, and it makes you just be able to relate more with them, you know. And again, it's back to that isolation, you don't feel so isolated because of it. I think that's a positive effect it had, and it just makes you more aware overall of just drugs and just everything. Was that it's about knowing our shadow selves and consciously and effectively moving into the light. And this was a comment on a YouTube video that I really liked, and it was really interesting, because again, with Jordan Peterson, who I mentioned earlier, he talks about integrating the shadow self, and also, but that wasn't his original idea. I believe it came from Carl Jung. I need to do more research about him. He's a philosopher, and he talked to, I believe it was him, I think so, he came up with this idea of the shadow self in us, and each person has kind of, I guess it's kind of the ego, like the worst parts of yourself. I have no idea what, like, I need to do some self-reflecting and, you know, research about the parts that are hard to admit in yourself, but that you have and that you need to work on or focus on more, so that they don't get out of control and they don't take over you. And that's kind of what integrating the shadow self is about, because you integrate it into your normal self so that it can coexist with your normal consciousness. It's kind of like, yeah, it's cool, but it's a little bit hard to understand. I'm still learning about it. I haven't done too much research on it, but it was interesting to me, because then once you do that, you can move on to a better path and a better way of living, and make sure that you're on the right path for yourself. So that was an interesting comment that I found. So as well as this whole film being all about all of these different things, I also really loved the camera work, because a lot of the scenes were in a documentary style where, you know, like Blair Witch Project. I still haven't actually watched that, but I just know it's famous for the camera. And it's really interesting because you see them, like, the camera is right in front of them, and you can really connect with the character and sense what they're feeling in that exact moment, and by the way they walk, like if they're running on, or like, you know, just by the camera like moving with them. It's really cool. It's just amazing, like what a camera angle and what it can just do to present the feeling at the time or what it's trying to convey to us. So yeah, I really love that. And they also use a lot of montages, especially when they're doing drugs. It's very montage, very quick clips, and I think that's to show just the frantic energy of it and how like it's just not thought upon. It's just so quick and you don't even think about it. It's just done like that, you know? And then it's so fast but the consequences are so drawn out and they just outweigh the 1 second of, you know, the high or whatever. So yeah, that was interesting. And also, the soundtrack. I don't know why, but I mean, everyone does agree, like, I've heard a lot, everyone just loves the soundtrack. It's very dramatic and it is scary, but with a lot of soundtracks, I just love to listen to them and I love to pretend I'm in the movie sometimes. I need to do that more, to be honest. And I just love, like, you just get a feeling when you listen to it. I don't know if it's the same feeling as, I think maybe one, because I listen to the music in the film and then I listen to it after, you get the same feeling as when you were watching it in the film and you remember the scene. Maybe it's sort of like that, and like the feeling you got whilst watching it. But yeah, just love the soundtrack. It's very famous. It's got a very famous song in. I can't remember what it's called. It's like Lux or something, I think. It's a different language, but you'd recognise it. Very dramatic, and but it's not in a bad way. It's like, I don't want to describe it. It's really dramatic, but it is, but it's realistic at the same time. It's a melodrama, like it is a melodrama, but because of the music, I think. But it makes it so good. It wouldn't be the same without the music in it. And it also has very short, like, sounds as music, as the soundtrack. Like, it's very eerie and it's calm, but there's something off about it. Like, that's how the only way I can describe it is just eerie and, like, so you're expecting something to happen, but it's nothing like I just wasn't expecting what way it was going to go down. Like, I just knew this film was about drugs, and I thought it was going to be, oh, it's just a drug movie, like, it's kind of chill. Like, I saw a lot of aesthetic edits on Instagram about it, and I just thought, oh, yeah, just another one of those movies. No, it is life-changing. Like, I would admit that. Like, a lot of people say you need to watch this movie once in your life, and I would agree. I even said when I first finished it, I'm never going to rewatch that again, because it was just so much, but so good at the same time. But then I was like, I will rewatch it, maybe. But it was very hard-hitting, and it's dark, but dark in the way that this is actually real life for some people, and that is just so sad and so just gut-wrenching, and all the negative emotions you could think of, that is what it is. So yeah, that was Requiem for a Dream. Anyway, so thank you so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this. I wasn't sure about it, but I hope you liked it. Even if you haven't watched it before, I hope I didn't give away too much, or I hope you still enjoyed it, even though you have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. Yeah, I just want to say thank you for listening, and I hope you... Oh, it's the 31st today. Well, not as I'm recording, but as I'm releasing it. Which means tomorrow is January 1st. So I wish you all the best new year. And I really, really hope 2021 will be a lot better. I think it will be. I hope so. Bye for now. I really do recommend that you watch it, or at least... I watched it on Amazon Prime, but you can just look, I just would look it up on 123 Movies or a website like that, because honestly it works just as good, and then you get loads of ads, but you can loads of tabs come up, but then you just keep closing them down and you'll eventually get to the thing, and then you'll be able to click on it and stuff. So yeah, it's quite short, it's not too long. It goes quite fast as well, but yeah, I really urge you to watch it. The next day I did feel a little depressed. I wasn't on my top game, I'm not gonna lie, but now I feel good today. That's also because I went shopping earlier with my mum, charity shops. Got a few bits, you know, Christmas shop. So yeah, it's just delusional. Stay in reality, but a bit of fantasy is okay, a bit of, you know, daydreams and all that, but make sure to not get caught up in the idea of your desire and your goal, and to not let them own you, and to not let them spiral. So, and by doing drugs, it just makes it all worse. Also, because I think all these characters were troubled, they definitely used drugs as a way of escaping, you know. I mean, obviously, but it was just a beautiful movie, and the cinematography, it was just amazing. It's just an amazing story, and the director, Aronofsky, love you, love you. I don't have enough things to say about it, because it's just so good. It's just so good. But make sure to have meaningful connections. If you don't, make some. But don't force yourself to make them. But just be open to people. Don't use people. Don't let people use you. Don't abuse drugs. Don't abuse people or anything. And don't... you know, just be careful in life, because when we're in isolation, you know, at the moment as well, it's especially hard to not go crazy and to not turn to dark things and to not stay sane. Especially now, it's very hard, I have to admit. It's been pretty rough on me this whole year, to be honest. It's been quite hard, but I know that doing things, that's not going to make it better, you know. It's all about control and self-control and resilience against things that you may think will make you feel better, but it's just in the short term. It's not going to be a long-term solution, you know. You just got to think... I mean, I think all the time about long-term effects. Not in, like, a bad way. but just be cautious, you know. I don't want to be all like hating on drugs and stuff, but it is just a scary thought if you watch this film, to end up like they all do. So it really does turn you off. It really does. So anyway, left that on a downer, but no, it was a very beautiful film. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the experience more than the actual, you know, I didn't enjoy watching them in pain, but I enjoyed the experience and what it taught me and the meanings. Thank you so much again for listening to my podcast, Bedroom Thoughts. If you haven't already, make sure to follow my Instagram at Bedroom Thoughts and message me if you want a specific topic or anything. Bye for now.